Well, thanks for taking time to chat with me. I'll just make a note. So you're the co-founder and CEO of Carb.io, and then it looks like you've merged with the Predictable Revenue group of companies there with Aaron Ross.
Yep.
Great book, by the way. It's something that I've actually worked on with my previous company. That was our entire outbound sales strategy was based on that book. So
oh, cool.
It's definitely a really interesting book. That's one of the reasons why I reached out to you. What kind of inspired you to start off with Carb? I know you had a CRM before that you were working on. What was the reasoning behind starting that little business there?
Yeah, I mean, same thing that inspired me to start the CRM system. I've spent my whole life in sales. I care a lot about sales productivity, about helping sales people be more productive. I care less about helping managers get their dashboards, but I understand as a manager, CEO now, that those are critical.
Yeah.
But where I think there's an underserved need is in helping salespeople basically communicate with their clients in an effective, efficient means. And so that's why we started the CRM company. We tried a bunch of different sort of tacks with that. Couldn't really get any traction. Obviously, trying to replace Salesforce, it's not a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd read Aaron's book and were using it to book a ton of meetings. And I was working at a Launch Academy here in Vancouver, and a couple fellow entrepreneurs sort of were hinting that I should quit with the CRM system and, you know, find something that I think Roger said, what did he say? He's like, I can't wait till you're working on something that you can be successful with. I was like, fuck you, Roger. But you might be onto something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got great integration. And we've, again, with the previous company I was at, we took Carb and integrated it with Salesforce, and it was seamless. So, I mean, Salesforce has all those integrations where you can have your own company if you play nice with Salesforce. And I think it lends itself well. But yeah, if you're trying to almost replace it as a CRM, there's the challenging aspect of it, I can see.
It wasn't a great business model, but when we pivoted into Carb, it made a ton more sense. And now we can sort of, we work very seamlessly with Salesforce. Well, not as seamlessly as we'd like yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah. So based on, you know, what you've been working with as far as the sales teams, and you mentioned helping them out, what would you say is like a sales challenge? So sales teams looking to grow, and they're using your platform. What are some of the challenges that you see with the outbound sales and growing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a bunch of different challenges, and everybody sort of struggles with things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one is just not knowing who to target. It doesn't matter how great your emails are. If we're emailing people in Alberta, farmers in Alberta, and trying to sell them software not related to their business, it's probably not going to do very well. So it doesn't matter how many different emails you test or how many times you contact them. And so finding the right people, figuring out how to build that list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of different ways of building a good list. There's even more ways of building a shitty list. And I think most people have had probably a bit of experience, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So list building, you know, once you've got who you're reaching out to and reaching the right people, is writing good content and then having other content, like solid content, to back you up and support you. So I think that next step is, like, once you know who you need to target, it's all about communicating with them, right? And there's a lot of different things that you need to do when you're communicating with somebody new, right? You got to build some social proof. You've got to show them that you're a real business. But really, at the end of the day, it comes down to social proof. It comes down to them believing you enough to get on a 15-minute call and let you explain, you know, what you do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's those sort of three steps of, like, identifying the right people. And most companies think they know the right people, but they don't. Or they say they do, and they're not quite sure. Then it's, you know, building a solid list of the right people and then finding ways of turning that list into meetings. And that's obviously slanted to what we do, because there certainly are challenges after that. It's not like it's easy sailing, but that's just the side of things that I know fairly well.
Yeah, interesting. As far as like purchasing lists, and I know data.com is an avenue we've looked at in terms of getting the data. Is that something that that you would be looking at, or is it go back to content completely? Like, is there a percentage of your strategy where you'd want to look at buying a list, or is it really all organic that you want to build the list?
It totally depends on the business, the size of the company. So, like, if there are only 100 companies, that's a very easy, like, obviously, a handbuilt list is going to be a better list, right? Nobody's going to argue there, especially if you know, if you're using the right tools to find the right email addresses and not just ones that will do blanket sort of verify, like, if you're building using a good source, right? Nothing beats a handbuilt list for relevance, for accuracy. However, you know, that takes a significant investment of time and resources.
Yeah.
If your average deal size is under $20,000, it's going to be, you know, it probably still makes sense. But your chances are, if you're $20,000, you know, in that sort of $10,000 to $20,000 range, you probably have more than a few thousand companies that you can reach out to. So you're probably going to mix in, you know, still reaching out like the personalized list approach to like a very small number of your best prospects. But the, you know, the more of a scalable approach to the sort of bottom 90%. So we always mix in a bit of both. With our, like when we're doing it for ourselves, when we're doing it for our customers, we're really good at the scalable list approach. We don't do too much hand building. We have data partners that will do hand building of lists. But it's just, it's not something that we do well.
Interesting. As you're being the CEO, it's almost like of two businesses, you're CEO and founder of two little projects here. How do you manage the day-to-day of both predictable revenue and CARB? Or is it pretty much consolidated into really just CARB and what you're working on there?
Yeah, I mean, we do kind of have three sort of, I call them products, right? We are all one company. So we actually rebranded to Predictable Revenue last year. And so the CARB is still the name of the software, but I'm sure, I think that might change, you know, in the near future. But I don't know how near that future is. So we just sort of look at it as three different products that we sell. It's the coaching, it's the Accelerate team. That's sort of go-to-market experts, the guys in the back, that will actually book meetings for you. And then we have the software. And our team in the back uses that software in order to book meetings for our customers. And so we look at it as sort of a virtuous cycle, where we have the sort of academy side, which is the learning that helps us continue to push the methodology forward, get better at what we do. Then there's the Accelerate team, which keeps us connected to our customers. And then there's the software side, which obviously is where we see the company going. It really helps our customers, you know, get value out of what we're doing long term.
So it seems like you've really diversified so that you've got different avenues that you can kind of build out. You have a particular product strategy going forward. You mentioned consolidating. Is there something that you're looking at down the pipeline as far as building out these platforms?
Yeah, our primary focus is on the software platform, specifically in the sales space.
As far as like the coaching and the kind of like the Accelerate team, is that's something that just, I guess, goes along with the software as you're kind of building out the education and whatnot? Yeah.
Some customers, I think we'll always have customers, we'll always see customers that really want to, that really need services. So I think that's always going to be a part of our business model. You know, in the future, it'll probably be a smaller part, but who's to say?
Cool. Do you see any trends in sales today versus maybe 5-10 years ago and how sales just has evolved and how we would approach it today as compared to, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, sales certainly has evolved. Most of my knowledge comes in the prospecting space. 10 years ago, you know, Salesforce was the only one that had this sort of prospecting team. I shouldn't say that. That's not true. But they were the most vocal about it. And specifically, Aaron wrote his book 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And that really became a big piece of what's changed in the industry. And I think the two interesting things that came out of predictable revenue, the two big changes or trends that we've seen since then, is more companies committing to having a dedicated team of prospectors so that their salespeople don't have to prospect. And more people are using email to prospect as opposed to simply cold calling. And if you look at the benchmarks industry-wide, the number of cold calls that people are making is going down across all industries.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I see that with even you've got text communication, and then people are just not using their phone numbers to the same extent. Like it's evolved where it's kind of a mix of social media, text. We've got chat bots coming out now, which does have an effect on the, incoming leads that we've found. Interesting. Do you have any kind of words of advice for somebody that's maybe starting up a business or looking to get into the arena of creating a business, kind of like where you were a couple of years ago in founding a few of these projects? Do you have any words of advice for somebody who's kind of getting going?
Yeah, I mean, interesting one. I think if I could go back and do it all again, I absolutely would, and I'd probably do it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, without the information I have now.
Yeah.
But if I was starting again, the things I would do differently. So, like, if CARB and Predictable Revenue ended today, and I started a new company tomorrow, the things that I'll do differently, really, coming from a sales background, I really underinvested in product. Management, product, like customer development, market validation, those types of things that, we sort of did the exercises, but it was sort of like checking the boxes. And I really think I used a lot of those frameworks as just confirming that I thought I was right.
Right.
And I felt like the frameworks themselves were a challenge put to me by the world. I mean, like, if you can answer these questions, then your ideas are good. And it wasn't necessarily about my ideas being good. Excuse me. Those frameworks were there to sort of teach me how to get external feedback on whether or not there is actually demand here. And the proof is in the pudding. We spent 18 months, that we hadn't validated the need for Voltage. And we spent 18 months with one customer, right? And that was, I'd prefer not to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would probably go a whole lot heavier on the customer validation, market validation, customer development, talking to products or talking to customers about the products. I would have invested a whole lot more time in sort of validating all those different things before even building or talking about building anything.
Mm. It's almost kind of like the minimum viable product, get it out, get the feedback kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, even before the minimum viable product, we started with a very minimum viable product. And I think it was all the research that, ahead of time before we actually built that, it was the reasons why we were building things.
Yeah.
Like, I think we had our customers' best interests at heart. We were just a little bit misguided in how to take those, take the pains and challenges we saw and turn them into product features. And I think we just didn't do enough research ahead of time, just on like validating with real customers. We talked to tons of customers, but I was just out there to confirm my beliefs. I wasn't out there to seek information, right? I think when I do it again the next time, I will start with talking to a business, talking to people that are in pain and figuring out, like, okay, well, what is your pain around the subject, right? And not coming in with any sort of preconceived notions of what I think I want to build in the past, I had these. And I was just there to confirm my beliefs as opposed to being more starting from a blank slate and saying, okay, tell me what your problems are and really listening and then diving deep. Because at the end of the day, like, we're creating a business to solve pain for other customers. And people are only going to give you money if you can solve pain for them.
Yeah.
So why not solve pains that they want to talk about that they're willing to pay for instead of pains that you feel like, that instead of pains that I feel like, you know, I want to solve. Yeah. Right. And there's a healthy balance there between, you know, wanting, like caring about a space and having a passion for the industry. I think that was huge and that really carried us to where we are today. Mm-hmm. But I think, if, you know, when I do this again the next time, I will do more, I will be less opinionated and do a little bit more validation ahead of time.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, that's all I had as far as questions. Thanks a lot for taking the time, and I think this is great. Yeah, and best of luck on growing the platform, and it's awesome product for sure.
Cool, man. So where's your podcast published?
I'm gonna have it on iTunes. So I'll do audio only, and it's just under my name, Trevor Cars Live. Doing a lot of interviews with CEOs and entrepreneurs, and I figure it would be good to share it. I'm into marketing and consulting, so it's something that I think is really just valuable, and also it helps promote your business, because there's a lot of companies that could be listening in that would really find value. I think when people are building out their Salesforce platform, there's a lot of different pieces that they should try to integrate with, and yours is a really useful tool, especially what we were doing when I was working for a logistics company. Your tool really helped with a lot of the
which company were was that AACB?
Yes, AACB.
Cool. Sorry, I didn't know that ahead of time. I was like, did you mention that you use car? Cool.
Yeah, you might have known Graham. Graham was
I only handle the billing side of things now. I don't get to see the actual, like, we look at the users, but it's a giant spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So I didn't pick up your name right away.
Yeah. Cool, that's very cool. But yeah, but between
So you're obviously not at AACB anymore.
No, I've decided to take on a few of my own ventures and get into entrepreneurship. So I left on good terms for sure. Yeah, it was fun being in the corporate world, but there's nothing like starting your own ventures, especially when you're young, and take advantage of it while you can before you get settled down. So I thought I'd just go full into it. But
how old are you now?
28.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I started when I was 27.
Yeah.
And it's took me, I think, a year and a half before the company was, almost probably 2 years before the company was giving me any money. So
wow.
It's it was challenging. I mean,
yeah,
that was us struggling with like this idea of just being a software company.
Mm.
We do software and services right now, and the services pay the bills.
Yeah.
So obviously that scales a little bit quicker. But you know, gotta learn somehow, right?
Yeah, for sure. If you got the cushion to kind of take it on for a couple of years, then that makes a difference too. Because you don't want to put yourself into a hole.
Yeah.
That's
or whatever. I didn't have much of a cushion. I lived off $1,000 a month for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And most of that came from, for the first half, I was cold calling for an investment advisor.
Okay.
And then I just couldn't do that anymore. That was soul destroying. I even tried to pitch him on doing card for him, and he's like, "Oh no, that would never work." It's like, okay, like I can't help you. I was like, I just booked 10 meetings, and like one of them was with Walmart CEO, one of them was with the guy from Square Enix. Like, I was like, this is obviously working, so I can't help you anymore.
Yeah.
So I refereed hockey for the other year to pay the bills.
Oh, nice. So you're a hockey fan.
I am.
Are you cheering for the Oilers or not?
I am.
It's kind of a hit and miss thing. Some people.
You know what? I've ripped on the Oilers as long as I can remember. I was born just outside of Calgary.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know what? I'll happily cheer for any Canadian hockey team.
Yeah.
Especially over a California team. Especially one with Kessler on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad we're on the same boat. Yeah. No, I was like kind of hit and miss with Edmonton, but Yeah, any Canadian team is better. Ideally, I want to see Vancouver kind of rebuild, but we'll see what happens
At least they're finally saying rebuild, you know.
there. Yeah, it's about time.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks a
Cool, man.
lot, Colin, and it's been a pleasure. I'll share the link with you once I've got it posted there, and then yeah, there you go.
Cool,
Awesome.
man. If there's anything I can do to help, just let me know. Feel free to reach out.
Sounds
I've been doing
good.
this for 5 years. I certainly am not, and I'm not quite good at it yet, but I'm less terrible than I used to be.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Your advice is fantastic. I think it's great for anyone getting started. Your insights are brilliant, and you've got a great product there. So definitely, yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Cool. Thanks,
Awesome.
Trevor.
Yeah. Thanks, Colin. Take care.
All right.